Colossians chapter 3, and I want us to look at the first three verses there in Colossians chapter 3 as our opening text. It won't be the only place we go to tonight, so if you can keep your Bible nearby you, I like to always announce that at the start so that you know that your Bible will need to be nearby you there, and you'll need to be able to see it tonight and have it close by you there so you can look some things up. And I'm going to give you some truths here tonight that I hope will be a help to you, I hope will be a blessing to you as we end this year and move into 2025. So Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 1, the Bible says this: "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Several years ago, we started going to, well, I say we started, this is when they started it. When they started it several years ago, the Emmanuel Baptist Church in Claysburg, Pennsylvania, started having a youth rally at their church. And just about every year now, we've gone. It's always on the first Saturday. They always have it on the first Saturday of March. And Pastor Eric Lingenfelder, just a dear friend of mine, and he started having a youth rally at his church, and we started going there several years ago. And it's just become an annual thing now. We've always got it on the calendar for the teens to be able to go and enjoy that. And they've always got a host of teens there and a lot of great things they do at the church. Well, one of the things that he introduced us to at his youth rally is a song that was written about Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 and 3. It was a song that I had never heard before. I had never heard that song. I had never heard these verses put to a song. And it seems as if, unless I'm forgetting this or unless my mind's failing me on this one, it seems that every youth rally we have gone to so far since they started it, they have this has been a song that they've sung that's been a part of the youth rally. And so every year we sing this song from Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 2 through 3. Let me see if I can sing it for you real quick. Would you look there in the Bible? It goes like this. It says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Ye are dead, ye are dead, ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Ye are dead, ye are dead, ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." How many of you have heard that one before? All right, so some of you that were going to the youth rally, you've heard that before. And I found actually a copy of that online. And as you're coming into the service from time to time, that actually plays as part of our prelude. And so maybe you actually have heard it over the sound system here at church and maybe didn't know it. But what a great song to remind us of what Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 3 is teaching us, that we are to set our affections on things above. So here's what Colossians 3, verse 1 through 3 is teaching us, that I want to use as a springboard into the message tonight that I hope will be a blessing to our children that are here. I hope it'll be a blessing to our teens that are here tonight. I hope it'll be a blessing to our adults that are here, all of us in our family service here tonight. Here's what Colossians chapter 3, the verses that we read, verse 1 through 3, are teaching us. They're teaching us to stay close to the heavenly things. Stay close to the eternal things. Let's read them one more time with that in mind, that God is telling us to stay close to heavenly things. Stay close to eternal things. Look one more time. It says this: "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are" where? "Above." See, he's asking us to put our concentration, put our thoughts on things that are above, things that are heavenly. Stay close to those things. Stay close to things that have eternity in value, not things that are temporal, not things that will pass away quickly. He says, set your affections on things that are above. Now notice what he says in verse 2. "Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." He's encouraging us to keep our heart on these things. Keep our heart on what thing? Well, keep our heart on heavenly things. Keep our heart on eternal things. And make sure we are staying close to those things. Every day of your life, here's the reason why I believe we're encouraged in Colossians chapter 3 to do this. Because every day of your life, and I'll go as far as to say this, every day of the year of 2025 as well, We're moving into a new year. We got 365 days in a new year that lie ahead. Every day of your life and every day in 2025 as we enter into this new year, the devil is going to try his very best to drive a wedge between you and things that are heavenly. And he's going to try his very best every day of your life and every day of 2025 to drive a wedge between God, or excuse me, between you and things that are of eternity as well. Things that are heavenly, things that are of eternal value. We've got three enemies that we battle, don't we? We've got the devil and the world and the flesh that we battle. And they're going to do all they can to cause us to stray from these things that we are reading about here in Colossians chapter 3. What things? Heavenly things. Eternal things. The devil is going to try to drive a wedge between these children that are sitting in here tonight and what God wants for them to do this year. He's going to try to drive a wedge between these teenagers that are sitting over here and between what God wants them to do. And adults, we don't get away with it, do we? He's going to do it for the children. He's going to do it for the teens. And he's going to do it for us adults as well, isn't he? He's going to try to drive a wedge between us and our Heavenly Father and heavenly things and eternal things. So the message that I want to preach to you tonight is this. I want us to consider this evening from Scripture, what must we stay close to in the coming year so that the devil doesn't drive this wedge that we're talking about in between us and heavenly things, in between us and eternal things, what we must stay close to in the coming year so that that doesn't happen. And I want to present to you a few thoughts here tonight of what we must stay close to. Number one, I want to encourage you tonight. We're going to look in the book of James here in a moment. I want to encourage you in the year of 2025 so that the devil doesn't drive this wedge that we're talking about between you and heavenly things and you and eternal things. You're going to have to stay close, number one, to the Savior. You're going to have to stay close to the Savior. Again, the children that are sitting in here tonight, you're going to have to stay close to your Savior. The teens that are sitting here, the adults that are sitting in here, we're going to have to stay close to our Savior in the year of 2025 because the devil's going to do his very best to wedge whatever he can between us and our Heavenly Father. I want you to look at James chapter 4 with me for a moment. And again, we will go to several passages of Scripture this evening and be able to touch on a few of these. Look at James chapter 4 and notice what the Bible says at the very beginning of verse number 8. So James chapter 4 and verse number 8, the Bible says this. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Now, notice, before it even says that God will draw nigh to us, notice the command that's given to us. We are to draw nigh to God. So what is the Bible teaching us here in James chapter 4 and verse number 8? We are to live close to our Savior. That's what he says. He says, draw nigh to God. So the command has been given to us that we are to live close to our Savior. So what did we say the title of the message was tonight? Some things we're going to have to stay close to in order to make sure that we have the year that God wants us to have. We're going to have to stay close to the Savior. And the Bible says we're to draw nigh to God. We're to live close to Him. But remember, though, we're going to be in a constant battle. And that constant battle is going to make sure that anything or anyone gets in the way and causes that wedge to create separation and distance between us and God. But as we're fighting that battle, we have to make sure that the contrary takes place, that we do not allow anyone or anything to drive a wedge between us and our Savior that causes distance. We've got to stay close to Him, don't we? Now, the Bible gives us some examples of some individuals that did that. Remember, there was a man that traveled with Paul on his missionary journey, and his name was Demas. You may remember as the Bible talked about him, Paul talked about Demas and he said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. What happened to Demas? Something got in the way. Something got in the way of Demas and his service to the Lord. And it led Paul to say, Demas hath forsaken me. He was here with me. He was on board with me in these missionary journeys. He was trying to help me along the way. And he hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. What happened? The world wedged itself in, didn't it? And it got Demas off track. It got him sidetracked. So we can't allow something to get in the way in 2025 to wedge its way in so that we're not close to our Savior like we should be. And then there's a passage of Scripture in the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 7, the Bible says this of the churches in the region of Galatia. It says, ye did run well. Wait a minute. Ye did run well. That means you're not running quite as well as what you were running, right? Paul says to the churches in the region of Galatia, he said, ye did run well. And then there's a word that comes after that, and it says, who? Who did hinder you? Who did hinder you? Now, remember what we said about Demas. There was a what that got in the way, something that got in the way. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. But with the churches in the region of Galatia, there was a who that got in the way. It was a someone. So the encouragement tonight is for the children and for the teenagers and for the adults in here. We've got to do our very best as this constant battle is taking place in our lives as children of God to make sure that we do not allow a something or a someone to wedge itself in so that it causes distance between us and our relationship with the Heavenly Father. We've got to stay close to Him. Now, we sing a song in our hymn book, and I'm not, of course, going to read all the words of that hymn, but probably some that are sitting in here would be able to identify the hymn. You'd be able to say, I've sung that one before. And it's the song with the title, Nothing Between. And what is the encouragement in that hymn? Nothing between my soul and the Savior. I've got to make sure I stay close enough to the Savior so that there's nothing that comes between. And again, the world and the flesh and the devil, a something or a someone in the year of 2025, I guarantee you there's going to be a constant battle, and they will try to wedge themselves between you and your close walk with the Heavenly Father. Can I say this? The Bible says here in James chapter 4 and verse number 8, draw nigh to God. Those first few words in James chapter 4 and verse number 8 remind us that it's God's will that we live close to Him. He says it as a command. We are to draw nigh to Him, which lets us know that it is His will that we live close to Him. But then can I go a step further to say this? The decision, though, is up to you. Are you going to stay close to God? Are you going to make that decision in the year of 2025? I desire to be close to God because the decision is up to you. I'll say it this way. God has done everything He could possibly do on His part to have a close relationship with you. On His end, He's done everything that He can possibly do, including sending His Son to leave the glories of heaven. We just celebrated, didn't we? To come down here to this earth and to die on a cross for us. Why? So that we could have a relationship with God. Remember, He created us in as His most special creation so that we could have that relationship with Him. And He has done everything that it would be possible on His end to make it so that we can have a relationship with Him. So the Bible says in James chapter 4 and verse number 8, then it's up to us as to how close our relationship with God, how close we want it to be. James chapter 4 verse 8, draw nigh to God, and then He will draw nigh to you. So we will be the ones in the year of 2025, you and I, we will be the ones who determine how close we are to God. It's not up to God. He's done everything already, hasn't He? I think we would agree about that. He's done it all already to have a relationship with us. So it is going to be up to you. It is going to be up to me. It's going to be up to us to determine how close our relationship with the Lord will be this year. So every Christian will say this statement, and I can say it confidently according to the Word of God. Every Christian is as close to God as they desire to be. You are as close to God as tonight as you desire to be, because it has nothing to do with God and it has everything to do with you. Now, I want to encourage you with this. In order to get to this place where we are staying close to the Savior, I'm going to ask you to do something at the end of the year of 2024 as we move into the year of 2025. I'm going to ask you tonight, and again, we'll call upon you for a decision tonight. I'm going to ask you to evaluate. If you want to stay close to God, you want to be where you need to be in your relationship and have that fellowship with God that's sweet, you're going to have to evaluate your priorities. We're going to have to consider those tonight, aren't we? We're going to have to consider our priorities. God has given us things that He's given to us really as a gift that we are to prioritize. We're going to have to determine how we spend our time this year. If we want to stay close to God, we've got to spend our time in such a way where we can have some time with God. you're going to have to evaluate how you give of your money. God gives us time and we're to spend it wisely. God gives us money and we're to give that money wisely. You're going to have to evaluate and determine how you're going to use your talents. Isn't it wonderful that God gives talents? He gives us gifts and he equips us to do whatever it is that he calls us to do. But we've got to determine, we've got to make a decision that we're going to use those talents, though, for his honor and glory, and we're going to prioritize them the right way. So how we spend our time this year, how we give of our money, how we use the talents God gives us may just be the determining factor of how close we are walking with the Savior. Will you be willing to prioritize that in the year of 2025? Now, I want you to turn in your Bible, if you would. Now, don't stray on me. And by the way, the reason I'm going to say that probably several times tonight, because I know we got a lot of children in here. All right, so children, I want you to listen. All right, so I want you to try to apply this to your life tonight. Would you take your Bible and would you look at Hebrews 12 for a moment? Because this is going to be something that will help us, I trust, if we'll listen. Two types of things that the devil, in this verse, I believe we see both of them. Two types of things that the devil will use to put distance between you and the Savior. Two types of things that he's going to use, by the way, in the year of 2025. He already tried to use them in 2024, and he's still at it because he's a roaring lion, and he's walking about, and he's seeking whom he may devour, and he wants to destroy everyone that's in here tonight. So in the year of 2025, there are two types of things that we're going to see here in Hebrews chapter 12 that the devil will use to put distance, or he'll try to use to put distance between you and the Savior. Can we consider them tonight when we're thinking about being close to our Savior? Look at what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience." We've got a race to run in 2025, don't we? We got to run it with patience. Run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, he's the greatest example, isn't he? The author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, can I go back to verse number 1, and can I tell you tonight the two types of things that the devil is going to try to use and put in your life to wedge between you and your Savior? Number 1, the Bible says this. Wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside, now notice the next two words, every weight. Every weight. All right, here's the first type of thing that the devil is going to use to try to hinder you as far as your relationship and your closeness to the Lord. He's going to try to use things that are not necessarily wrong or sinful, but they become weights. He says we are to lay aside every weight. By the way, isn't it unique that he's talking about this when he's talking about a runner that's running in a race? Because a runner that runs in a race always tries to eliminate the weight, don't they? They try to get down to the lightest pair of shoes they could possibly wear. Perhaps the lightest pair of socks or no socks at all. They're trying to make sure their outfit is the lightest of weight, so that they can make sure they don't have any weight, extra weight at least, that's holding them back from running the race the best they can possibly run that race. Well, God's saying the Christian race is more important than any physical race. It's more important than any track meet you'll ever be involved in. It's more important than any mile run that you'll ever do. And so he says, in order to run it the right way, we've got to lay aside the weights. Again, things that are not necessarily wrong and things that are not necessarily sinful, but they can have a tendency to hold us back and pull us down from being everything God wants us to be and from doing everything God wants us to do. We're going to have to get to a place where we lay those weights to the side. Something that we may worship or we may serve or we may be perhaps consumed with that is over and above the Savior. That's what a weight is. Not necessarily something that's sinful, not necessarily something that's wrong, but we've gotten to a place where it consumes us so much It takes so much of our time. We're investing our energy and our strength into this, and it really has become something we are worshiping over God. We're serving it over God. It's gotten in the way, and God says you've got to lay it aside. Now notice the second type that the devil will try to use. He says we're to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, which so easily gets us off track. And it becomes something that just nags us, and it becomes that besetting sin where we just have trouble getting victory over it. The devil's going to try to use that this year as a wedge to try to get between you and your relationship, your fellowship, staying close to the Heavenly Father. The devil's going to try to use that this year. He's going to try to use a sin. Now, we talked about weights as being things that were not necessarily wrong or sinful, but we would worship them or serve them or be consumed with them above what we should, our relationship with God. But certainly we understand when he says sins, he's referring to things that are sinful, things that are wrong for us to have in our lives. Probably one of the greatest illustrations that we can give of this was an Old Testament Bible character named David. Remember, David was a man after God's own heart, but all of us know that David sinned, didn't he? David, the Bible says, committed adultery with Bathsheba, and then he ended up murdering her husband. And as a result of that sin of adultery, and as a result of that sin of murdering her husband, everything went smoothly in David's life, right? No. David ran into a bunch of trouble, didn't he? As a matter of fact, his fellowship between God and himself was broken. I'd like to, real quickly, and again, I told you we'd be journeying through the Bible. Would you look quickly at Psalm 32? I want to try to quickly address some things that happened because of sin that was in David's life that, again, we're going to have to consider tonight when it comes to the close relationship that God wants us to have with him this year. Look at what the Bible says that David says to God in Psalm 32, and look with me, if you would, at verse number 1. He said, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." David had sinned against Bathsheba, and he's asking God for forgiveness. And he says here in verse 2, "Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile." Now watch what happened to David when David had sin in his life that wasn't dealt with. Look at what it says in verse number 3. "When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long." Does that sound like David's in comfort? Of course not. David's in absolute turmoil because of his adultery he's committed with Bathsheba and the way that he murdered Uriah the Hittite, her husband. He's in a mess, isn't he? The fellowship between him and his God, him and his Savior, there's been a wedge that's been created. Remember what Hebrews said? We got to lay aside the weight. We got to lay aside the sin. So David's confessing his sin because he realizes, until I do that, I have, number one, no peace. Until I take care of it, I have no peace. Notice he identified that in verse number 3, the turmoil that he was in. There was no peace at all. Look at what verse number 4 says. "For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer." Selah, he says. Oh, I'm in such turmoil because of this sin, and there is absolutely no peace. But would you turn quickly over with me to Psalm 51, which is the other psalm that David wrote in addition to Psalm 32, a psalm of confession when he had sinned against Bathsheba, the God, with committing adultery with Bathsheba and killing Uriah the Hittite. He says in Psalm 51, look down with me if you would in verse number 12. He says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." He didn't say restore my salvation because he didn't lose that. But he did lose the joy of his salvation, didn't he? So number one, what did we identify happens when this wedge comes between us and God? Number one, there's no peace. And number two, what does the Bible say? There's no joy. David had no peace and he had no joy. He was robbed of his peace. He was robbed of his joy. And that is exactly what the devil wants to do to us in the year of 2025. He wants to cause a wedge between us and how close we are to our Savior. And he'll use a weight, something that'll hold us back and pull us down. He'll use a sin, especially if we keep it unconfessed. And he'll jam that wedge and drive that wedge in between us and our relationship with God. Look at what the Bible says quickly, if you would, at Psalm 51. We're in Psalm 51. Look at verse number 2. It says this, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Here's what David got to a place where he understood. He got to this place where he understood that there was now distance between God and me. And the only way that I can put this distance that's been created back together like it should be, I've got to confess my sin. I've got to get it dealt with, and I've got to get it right. You know, there's another story in the book of Luke chapter 15, and we won't take time to turn there, but there's a story of a prodigal son. And a prodigal son that had left his father's house, and the Bible says that he wasted all of his living on riotous living. And the Bible says as a result of that, he's eating of the husk that the swine did eat. And no man cared for his soul and no man gave to him either. And then the Bible says he came to himself. And the Bible says he got to a place where he realized, my father there at home with all of the hired servants. And here I am eating the husk that the swine eat. I've got no man that loves me, no man that cares for me. And all of this is a result of the wedge that has caused distance between me and my earthly father. And so he said, I will arise, right? And go to my father. And I will say to my father, I've sinned against you and I've sinned against heaven. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son, but make me as one of thy hired servants. See, he got to the place where he realized the only way I can get the relationship back to where it should be, I've got to come back and I've got to confess. What a wonderful illustration for us of the Heavenly Father, right? Who's always there. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Can I say that the prodigal son was a lot like David? He had no peace, did he? And he had absolutely no joy. And he realized that the only way he was going to be able to get close to the Father again is I have to go back and I have to confess and I have to get it dealt with and I have to get it made right. The first challenge I want to give to you tonight, remember we're talking about heavenly things, we're talking about eternal things, we're talking about staying close to these things in the year of 2025 and the fact that the devil is going to make the battle real for us and he's going to drive a wedge between us and these heavenly things and these eternal things. We said, number one, we're going to have to stay close to the Savior. Number two, can I encourage you tonight, and I trust you'll make a decision about this tonight, from the youngest to the oldest here tonight. Matter of fact, maybe if you're writing things down, you can jot these things down here tonight to help you. Number one, we got to stay close to the Savior. Number two, we got to stay close to the Scriptures. In the year of 2025, we're going to have to stay close to our Savior, and we're going to have to stay close to His Word. We're going to have to stay close to the Scriptures. Would you take your Bible with me quickly if you would? You should be there maybe perhaps in Psalm 51. Would you turn just right over to Psalm 119? Psalm 119, and I want us to look at three verses in Psalm 119 that remind us of how close we need to be to the Scriptures. Psalm 119, look with me if you would when you find this psalm to verse number 9 if you would. Psalm 119 and verse number 9, the Bible says this, wherewithal shall a young man, now that doesn't literally mean it's applied to men only now, wherewithal shall a young man, wherewithal shall a young lady, wherewithal shall a Christian, right? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. What's God saying? If you want a clean path, if you want a path of closeness to your Savior, you're going to have to take heed to the word of God. Now let's go on. Verse number 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Now what is the word commandments they're referring to? It's referring to the Scriptures, isn't it? He says, Lord, let me not wander from thy commandments. Remember what we're talking about tonight? We're talking about staying close to something. The psalmist is saying, let me not wander. Lord, I don't want my life to somehow create distance between me and the Scriptures. I don't want a wedge to be driven in so that there's distance between me and God and between me and God's Word. He said, let me not wander. And then notice this. You may know this verse. Probably many of you that could quote it tonight. Psalm 119 and verse number 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against God. Now let's put number one and number two together for a moment. If we are not willing to stay close to the Scriptures, then we'll never be close to the Savior. He says, Lord, let me not wander from your commandments. I want to stay close to your word so that I can stay close to you. Number one, we want to stay close to the Savior, but we will never be able to stay close to the Savior if we're not committed to staying close to the Scriptures as well. Now here's Satan again. Satan's trying to drive that wedge between us and our Savior. And here we bring him up again because he's the roaring lion and he's walking about and he's seeking whom he may devour. And he's trying to drive a wedge not only between us and the Savior, he's trying to drive a wedge between us and the Scriptures as well. Here's two things that the devil is going to try to do with the Scriptures in your life. He's going to try to, number one, keep them out of reach, and he's going to try to keep them out of sight. He doesn't want you to be able to easily reach the Scriptures because he knows that if you're reaching the Scriptures and you're reading it, you're going to apply it to your life, you're going to learn from it. He wants to keep it out of your reach so it's not in your hands. He wants to keep it out of your sight so you're not even considering it. That's what the devil wants to do as he desires to drive a wedge between you and the Scriptures. You know, the devil is our enemy. He doesn't care how many times you read through and how many days you read through the newspaper. He doesn't care how many times and how many days you read through a magazine. He doesn't care how often you read through a book. He doesn't care how often you scroll the content on your phone. He doesn't care how often you're online and searching, maybe perhaps page after page after page online, as long as you're not reading the Bible. He doesn't care whatever other source you go to. He doesn't care how much you spend your time in other ways, reading and taking in all of those things. As long as you are not reading your Bible, as long as he can keep it out of reach, as long as he can keep it out of your sight. Now tonight we encouraged you already. We've got some Bible reading schedules in the back. We tried to encourage you when you moved into the year of 2025. By the way, we've got children that are sitting in here, a good application for you tonight. We got teenagers that are sitting in here tonight, a good application for you tonight. And not to have necessarily somebody always constantly be on you for it either, but to say, I want to do this for myself. I want to feed myself from the Word of God. And then adults tonight, we've encouraged you with those Bible reading schedules that are in the back and different ways that maybe you can read through the Bible. I know in years past I've always just kind of put it out one way that you can read, but I kind of just felt like God would have me to put out several ways that you can kind of read through the Bible this year. But I'll say this, the devil's going to do everything he can to keep you from doing that this year. He's going to do absolutely everything he can. And it comes back to what we said about our relationship with the Savior. We're going to have to prioritize. We're going to have to make sure it's a priority. It comes before the magazine or the newspaper or the book or the content on the phone or the online pages that we visit that we're reading from. Because the devil's going to try to do anything he can to keep you from, especially if you go home tonight with one of those in your hand and you make a commitment to say, I'm going to do it this year. I'm going to read through my Bible this year. I'm going to read through it chronologically for the first time. I've never done that before, and I want to do that this year. Or maybe read it through where I'm reading through various places of the Scripture. Or even some that are sitting here tonight, and you say, for the last 5, 10, 15, 20 years, I've read through the Bible in a year. The devil's still going to try to get you to fail at it this year. He doesn't want you to do that. He doesn't want you to read through. He doesn't want you to be close to the Scriptures. He's not wanting you to read it. He's not wanting you to study it. He's not wanting you to meditate upon it. He's not wanting you to memorize it. By the way, I believe with all my heart the devil hates when we have a monthly verse around here. Why? Because we're trying to memorize Scripture, aren't we? And the devil doesn't want us to read it. He doesn't want us to memorize it, meditate from it. He doesn't want us to study it. He doesn't want us to share it with others, does he? He doesn't want us to quote from the Bible. And especially, certainly, he doesn't want us to heed it. Because if we heed it, then we're doing what God wants us to do. And the devil's lost, hasn't he? The devil wants nothing to do with the Scriptures, and he is going to fight strongly to make sure that you do not accomplish what God wants you to accomplish when it comes to the Scriptures in the year of 2025. Now, can I real quickly, just like I did with point number one, where I gave you two types of ways in which the enemy is going to try to wedge itself between you and the Lord, can I give you two reasons why the devil doesn't want you to read the Scripture? Two reasons why the devil doesn't want you to read the Scripture. Number one, because the Bible, number one, reflects. It reflects. In the book of James, the Bible refers to God's Word as being a mirror, right? What does a mirror do? A mirror reflects. A mirror shows us truths that we need to learn about God, but it also shows us, the Word of God shows us, reflects to us, things that are in our lives that should not be there, and things perhaps that God wants us to do that we are failing to do. The devil understands that. He understands that the Word of God is going to be a reflector, and it's going to show us the problem areas in our life. Matter of fact, in James chapter number 1, what does the Bible say about God's Word? It says this: we are to be not only hearers of the Word, but we're to be doers as well. And a person that is a hearer of the Word only and not a doer is like a man who looks at his face in a glass. He's looking at his natural face, the Bible says, in a glass, or the Bible's using that word to describe a mirror. And he's saying, and he goes about his day, and he forgets what manner of man he was. He looks at the problem areas in the mirror, but he doesn't correct them. We don't do that, do we? We get up in the morning, physically speaking now, and we look at the problem areas, and we say, all right, before we go out for the day, we're going to fix those problems. But the Bible says the man who just is a hearer and not a doer is like somebody who would look into a mirror and say, well, there's no problems I need to fix, and they just go about their day. So God says, I don't want you just to be a hearer of the Word. I want you to be a doer as well. Heed, read the Word of God, but heed the Word of God as well. Hear the Word of God, but obey it as well. Do what God asks you to do. Why is the devil so against the Scripture? Number one, because it reflects. But number two, I want you to notice this about the Scripture. It doesn't just reflect, it also reveals. It reveals. The Bible refers to itself, the Word of God, in three different ways that can help us to understand what the Bible reveals. Number one, it refers to itself as a fire. In the book of Jeremiah, the Bible says, is thy word not like a fire? What does a fire do? A fire reveals that which is impure, doesn't it? So if that fire gets hot enough and you're putting something in that fire, it'll be able to reveal that which is impure. It'll be able to even purify gold, won't it? That's what the Word of God does. It reveals those problem areas. It reveals to us the great God that we serve. Then the Bible says that not only is it like a fire, but it also says it's like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. What is the hammer doing? The hammer's revealing. The Bible even goes on in the book of Hebrews to tell us that the Bible is like a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and with the joints and marrow, it says, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. What is the Bible doing? The Bible is reflecting. The Bible is revealing. It's showing to us the God that we serve and how we can know Him better. And then it gets to the place where it shows us what we ought to do and what we ought not do that would please or displease our Savior. Can I say this about what the Word of God does for us? The Word of God gives us truth, doesn't it? See, the devil doesn't want us to know truth. As a matter of fact, the devil is even trying to use ways in which he can manipulate and cause, again, a wedge in the minds of even those in our younger generation to believe that truth is only found in what we perceive to be true. If I perceive it to be true, then that means it's true, which means there's no absolutes at all. Well, God's Word is all truth, isn't it? And God's Word reflects, and God's Word reveals, and I'll say it this way, aren't you thankful that we hold a book in our hands that takes the guessing out of what we ought to do? We don't have to guess, do we? God has just laid it out for us. This is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to stay away from. It takes all of the guesswork out of it. That's why we say that this book is our sole and our final and our absolute authority for all of our faith and all of our practice in our life. By the way, God wouldn't be a very good God, and He is a good God now, but He wouldn't be a very good God if He told us that there was a place that you could go to and you could spend eternity in, and that place is called heaven, but not tell us how to get there. But see, God tells us how to get there, doesn't He? I heard an illustration of that once. I heard an illustration of a man who talked about saying that if you were to enter into a room, and in that room, there would be 100 chairs in that room. And as you enter the room, somebody that was standing there in that room would say, we want you to sit down in one of these chairs, but we just want to let you know that one of them is loaded with an electrical volt that would literally kill you. And you would say, oh, Come on now, that's a 1 in 100 chance that I would sit in that chair, so I'm just going to go sit down. No, none of us would do that, would we? We'd start to maybe try to ask questions. Well, do you know which one it is? And maybe there'd be several individuals that would be standing in there, and the one say, well, I think it's this chair, but I'm really not so certain. That wouldn't give us a whole lot of confidence. And then maybe another one would say, no, it's not that one. It's this one over here. But you know what? To be honest, I'm not real certain if that's the one either. We wouldn't be confident enough to sit down, would we? Even if it was a 1 in 100 chance that we'd sit in that chair that would kill us, we'd say, no. We'd want to know the answer to that, wouldn't we? And God says, hey, there's a place that I've created for you to go. And that place is called heaven. And he takes the guesswork out of how we're to go. He tells us in his word very clearly of how we can spend eternity with him. He says we got to get to a place where we acknowledge that we're a sinner, right? And our sin separates us from God. And there's no way that we can pay the price on our own for our sin because we're sinners ourselves. But God loved us so much that he sent Jesus Christ to this earth. He lived a sinless life. He died on a cross. He was buried and he rose again. And he says, if we'll confess with our mouth and believe with our heart and call on him, whosoever shall do that will be able to know for sure that they're saved and they're on their way to heaven. See, he gives us the answer. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He takes all the guesswork out of it, doesn't he? And so we don't have to have somebody say to us, well, I think this is the way you can get to heaven, but I don't know if I'm so sure. And then another man come up and say, well, I tell you, his way was wrong, but I this way is correct, but I don't know that I could say I'm 100% certain about that. We're 100% certain about the way to heaven, aren't we? Because God's taken all the guesswork out of it, and he's helped us to understand how we can get to heaven. Isn't it wonderful that this book contains all truth? And I'm saying in the year of 2025, you're going to have to stay close to it. Now, can I give you two more? I'll try to go timely with these last two. Number three, in order for you to have the year of 2025 like God wants you to have, you're going to have to stay close to the Spirit. You're going to have to stay close to the Spirit. You know, the Bible says this in Galatians chapter 5. It says we're to walk in the Spirit and we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. All throughout Scripture, the Bible talks to us about how we should deal with the Spirit of God in our lives. We just talked about Galatians chapter 5 and how it talked about how that we ought to walk in the Spirit. He also tells us that we are to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading. The best way to say it is this, we ought to listen. We ought to listen. And we ought to be obedient to what the Holy Spirit prompts us to do. If he prompts us to do something, we should do it. By the way, in Romans chapter 8, the Bible says that we ought to be willing to receive the Holy Spirit's help when we are praying. Because the Holy Spirit understands our infirmities, doesn't he? And he knows God's will for our life, so I have to be sensitive as I'm praying and be willing to receive the prayer help that the Holy Spirit wants to give me. And then, by the way, I need to respond to his conviction. Have you ever had a time when the Holy Spirit's convicted you? Showed you that you had some type of a need that you needed to deal with when it came to you and your walk with the Lord? Maybe perhaps he's even doing that to you tonight. And he's letting you know there's some things that stand between you and the Lord. There's some wedges that have already been created between you and the Savior and between you and the Scriptures and between you and the Spirit. And you've got to get these things dealt with. We're to respond to his conviction. We're to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says we're to sow to the Spirit. And by the way, if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap life everlasting. If you sow to the flesh, you'll reap corruption, the Bible says in the book of Galatians. And then we're to make sure we don't sin against the Holy Spirit of God. We're not to quench him or to put out that fire that he desires to burn in our hearts. We're not to grieve him or to make the Holy Spirit sad or to bring sadness to the heart of our God. These are commands that God has given unto us to his word. We need to stay close to the Spirit. The last thing I want to encourage you with tonight is this. I want you to look up one last verse, and we'll finish with this verse this evening. Would you quickly look at Hebrews chapter 10? I would imagine that for some, this verse will be very, very familiar. But I'm going to ask you to make a commitment in the year of 2025. This is a commitment that we need to make. Those that are here tonight, maybe perhaps those that are joining us by way of live stream that are part of our church family. I know some are sick and not able to be with us here tonight. But these are commitments that we have to stay close to. We got to stay close to the Savior. We got to stay close to the Scriptures. We got to stay close to the Spirit. Look with me, if you would, our final verse tonight, Hebrews chapter 10. And look with me, if you would, at verse number 25, and I'll give you our last point. It says this, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The last thing I want to encourage you tonight with is that we need to, in the year of 2025, we can't let a wedge come in. We can't let a wedge be driven in between us and the saints. We need to stay close to the saints. Look at what the Bible says. The Bible talks about assembling together. Now, who do we assemble together with? We assemble together with the saints, don't we? We have to stay close to the saints. Can I say this? The closer to Christ's return, the more the devil is going to be fighting. As a matter of fact, the Word of God said that, didn't it? It said, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What is that day? Well, that's the day of Jesus coming. And he says, the so much the more. He's saying that we ought to be gathering together and assembling with one another as saints, so much the more. He didn't say so much the less. He said so much the more. But it seems to be that so much the more, many times sadly, has gone by the wayside, and it's so much the less. God says, I want you to be gathered together and assembled together with saints, because the closer to the coming and the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, the more the devil is going to be working. And you say, well, why is that true? Because he knows his days are shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter. To take souls to hell with him and to remove the influence of even those that are saved from being the light and being the salt that God wants them to be. These days, the Bible says that we are living in, we refer to these as the last days, don't we? And the Bible says there's going to be a great falling away. If there's going to be a great falling away and there's going to be challenges that we're going to have to face as Christians, here's what God's saying. You need the church. You are going to need the church. You're going to need the fellowship that you have with brothers and sisters in Christ. These children are going to need to have good friends in church as they're growing up. They're going to be able to, we're going to need the worship of the Lord. We're going to need the preaching of the Word of God. We're going to need the singing. Wasn't it great to sing tonight? We're going to need the singing that we have when we're in church. And he says, so much the more. More than we've ever needed it before. Why? Because we draw strength from it, don't we? We draw strength from it. Have you ever had a time where you didn't get to make it to church? Maybe perhaps sickness has come in, something that maybe stood between you and being able to come, although your heart desperately desired to be there, and you just, maybe for some type of illness or some type of problem, you couldn't be there, and you realized, hey, that's the place where I'm drawing my strength from. That's the place that God is helping me at. But remember, the devil comes in, doesn't he? The devil wants to drive that wedge. And the devil doesn't care where we go. If it's some place that's not going to help us spiritually. He doesn't care if we go to the ball game. Now, I love a good ball game. But he doesn't care if we go to the ball game. He doesn't care if we go to the mall and shop. Matter of fact, if it's open, I guess you can go tonight if you want. He doesn't care if you go to the mall. He doesn't care if you go to the ball game. Because those are things that are not going to feed you spiritually. As long as you're not going to church. See, that's what he cares about. Because he realizes that's where you're going to be fed, excuse me. That's where you're going to get the help, and that's where you're going to get the strength that you need. And he'll do all he can to keep you from attending church. He'll do all he can to keep you from being faithful. He'll give you every single excuse that is imaginable. And I know why, and you know why I know that to be true? Because I've heard a lot of them. I've heard a whole lot of them. Excuses that come from time to time where people will say, well, I just can't be there because of this or because of that, when God says we ought not forsake the assembling of ourselves together because we're going to need that encouragement from the saints. See, here's what the devil knows. The devil knows that many people have come to church and they've walked in the building discouraged and they've left encouraged. He realizes that many have come discouraged and they've left with a renewed fire, a renewed determination, a renewed desire to do more for the Lord. Now, you can't tell me that God doesn't want us to be in a place that he ordained. See, he established it, didn't he? He ordained that we be there. He knew that we needed it as a body. He knew that we needed to serve and to use our talents and to assemble together and to worship together and to witness together as a family. He knows how desperately we need to stay close to the saints. That's why he's encouraged us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves. So can I wrap up tonight just by reminding you of what we've talked about? If you want to fulfill the will of God for your life in the year of 2025, I know that you'll have a chance to do it in a greater way if you'll stay close to the Savior, and you'll stay close to the Scriptures, and you'll stay close to the Spirit of God, and you'll stay close to the saints. Can we ask God to help us with these things? Maybe each individual one you'd like to just touch on in your prayer time to the Lord and say, God, help me to stay close to you. Help me to stay close to the Scriptures. Help me to stay close to the Holy Spirit of God that, if you're saved, by the way, lives inside of you. Help me to commit to being faithful to the house of God in the year of 2025 so I can draw my strength and my help from that. Why don't we ask God for his help in whatever individual way he's spoken to us tonight? And maybe perhaps just to take some time to pray and talk to the Lord. Father, as we end the year of 2024, Lord, may the message tonight encourage us to stay close to our Savior. Stay close to the Word of God, the Scriptures. Stay close to the Spirit of God that lives inside of us. Stay close to the saints of God who are there to give us the encouragement in the house of God, to give us the strength that we need, to give us encouragement when maybe we just need it desperately, to give us that a way that we can serve you and to use our talents and our gifts for you.